Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim, who's called El of all, created the heavens and the earth. There are just a few Hebrew words used in this study. Genesis 1, verse 1 is pronounced for you in the first audio file on this website. I will say verse 1 in Hebrew and then explain each word. The very first verse in the Bible gives us how everything that existed started. It clearly introduces the fact that Elohim created the heavens, plural, and the earth, singular. There is no other method of creation implied by this verse. We are aware that God has created space, time, matter, energy, things that had never existed before. Bereshit. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. Bereshit. The Hebrew word for beginning is Bereshit. The letter B, meaning the word bet, is found starting this word. Bet means house. What we learn from this is that it pertains to the house of creation. This house of creation is further detailed by meaning the life of the universe. This also means to the Hebrews is the first book of the Torah, and the Torah contains the first five books of the scriptures. Bara, Bereshit bara. The word bara means create, and is in singular third-person form. In Latin, the word used to describe this type of creation would be ex nihilo, out of nothing. Two verses in Psalm 33, 6 and 9 say that Elohim spoke the worlds into existence. All he had to do was speak. Psalms 33, 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. In Psalm 33, 9, for he spoke, and it came to be, he commanded, and it stood firm. Bereshit bara Elohim. You have Elohim with bara. When we look at the word Elohim, we discovered that this is God's name, and it is plural. He is known as a creator judge in Hebrew. The singular third person creates, which is the word bara, precedes plural Elohim. And this is the grammatical form, and it is not common Hebraic grammar. It emphasizes the plural while maintaining the oneness of God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We will see later in Genesis 1:26 when God creates man. He says, "Let us make man or Adam in our own image and in our likeness." Verse 27 uses bara when Elohim says he created man. He created his spirit. He created the life of man. Ex nihilo comes from Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We also have to understand that God is self-existent. At the burning bush in Exodus 3:6, Elohim said, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Elohim gives Moses his name in Exodus 3:13-14. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So God is best described as the I am. God did not infer he has a past or a future by saying he is the I am. This gives us a very strong reason to believe he is self-existent. He does not depend upon anything or anyone else. We are not like that since we are his creation. Hashamayim. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim. In verse 1, the Hebrew word for heavens is hashamayim and is in plural form. This tells us that there is more than one heaven. Note this verse from Paul the Apostle, 2 Corinthians 12:2. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows." So the heavens could be understood as three areas. the atmosphere around the earth, the celestial heavens where the stars, planets, and other celestial bodies reside, and then God's heaven where we as believers have put our faith in Jesus to spend eternity someday. And the last word is Haaretz. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'haaretz. The Hebrew word for earth is Haaretz and is in singular form. So we're looking at in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Or in the beginning, if you want to say again, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So sometimes I will say God, other times I'll say Elohim or other forms of names for God. Who made the world? Hebrews 1:2. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Who exactly is Elohim? Hebrews 1:2 states that it is Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews states Elohim the Father, it's called Abia, is referring to his son Elohim, Jesus, Yeshua. Elohim and Yeshua are also the Rosh Kodesh, Holy Spirit, since God has identified himself as the Trinity and also as one in unity. We saw that in Deuteronomy 6:4. Some refuse to believe that God is triune. They make a big deal over it. But what about a God that can make everything out of nothing and eventually in this chapter he creates life? I think I am content to believe him over this matter of him being three persons that can act together. Please don't ignore his holy word or try to change it in any way. Don't take it out of context either. While we are here between verse 1 and 2, we're going to cover in a minute, be aware there is and has been for some time a very erroneous belief called the gap theory. Man tries to put long ages or deep time, as it is called, between these two verses. Man uses eisegesis, which is putting in things and ideas that do not exist into literary works, especially God's Word. A plain reading of Genesis or any other part of Scripture should be treated with exegesis instead. That is taking out of the text what is clearly there and using it to properly gain knowledge. Did anyone say science? Since that's the definition of science? Science is knowledge. More on that later. I am going to read verse 2 next, so keep in mind these statements I am making right now. I will comment on this imaginary theory after verse 2. Verse 2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim was moving over the surface of the waters." All the necessary elements for the earth and the entire creation have been created out of nothing. We saw that in verse 1. Right now, it is a good time to see how we get historical narrative out of Scripture since we are looking at the original Hebrew. You have to have a copy of the transliterated Hebrew in front of you, like I am reading from here in this study. Looking at verse 2, you can see it is directly connected to verse 1 and many other verses to follow by the Hebrew letter Vav. It is V in the original text, as shown as the first letter of each verse, and is pronounced V as in vine. Treat the Vav as implying then or therefore, etc. in English at the beginning of each verse. This helps to identify Scripture as historical narrative, and we should read each succession of verses in perfect order and as complete true history, especially with the Vav. The way this creation account is written shows that it's truthful as pure historical narrative. Again, we see the word Haaretz for the earth in verse 2. We are taught that the earth is not in the correct form for habitation or anything living. That is what the statements without form and void refer to. Without form, covered with water, no land yet, void, uninhabited. Surface of the deep refers to the deep waters on the entire surface of the earth. Elohim informs us through his writings that his Ruach, or spirit, was moving or hovering over the face of the waters. Note that darkness was over the face of the deep. Simply stated, we haven't seen the existence of light yet Now back to this impossible gap theory. Some have proposed, using pure speculation about verse 2, that the earth was destroyed by Satan and was left without form and void. It becomes some preposterous recreation theory, as well as if God had to suddenly redo everything he just did because of an angry angel called Lucifer or Satan. Satan, originally called Lucifer, was being created along with everything else, and there is no record of him falling in sin at this stage of creation. And we will need to realize that God will refer to his creation as perfect throughout this chapter from start to finish. As I said, without form means no dry land and just covered with water, and void means empty of life. Now, I was talking about as being perfect from start to finish. That includes the creation of the angels, of which Satan is one of them. He's the head angel. And any other angels that have fallen later, they were created perfect, along with the ones that still remain. We will see what Elohim does next in the following verse about this uninhabitable collection of elements covered with water and surrounded by air, and what Elohim is going to do about the darkness. Verse 3, then Elohim said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Elohim then spoke, and it was done. We can see this in Romans 4:17. "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." That's the word "calls into existence" is the same as speaking. Paul is referring to Abraham justified by faith in Romans 4. One day in the future, the Lord will again be the source of light, as we have seen there in verse 3 of Genesis 1. And you can look at Isaiah 60:19. Chapter 60, verse 19. "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." And John is also shown the glorified Christ in Revelation 1:16. "In his right hand he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp 2-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength." John 8:12. "And again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light that was a part of creation in verse 3 came from God himself and was not yet the light from the sun we experience today. The sun and stars and the moon are not yet created. Verse 4. "Elohim saw that the light was good, and Elohim separated between the light and the darkness." In the first mention of Elohim's satisfaction with the progress of his creation, we see that he said that the light was good. The Hebrew word is tov. Good to Elohim had to mean perfection. It is in his nature to always be perfect, and he cannot lie. Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." There it is, part of the creation, time. With so many references in the scriptures about light, it becomes obvious that light is good, especially over darkness. Revelation shows no need for the sun or on the moon in the future. Let's look at the future. Revelation 21:23-25. "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there." This is the New Jerusalem. Now, what does it mean about separating the light from the darkness? We saw that in the verse. Elohim separated the light from the darkness the way light is experienced today. It is that the light during daytime is always on one half side of the earth as it rotates, and darkness during nighttime is on the opposite side. That's obvious. We should understand that. Light from the sun is made up of radiated energy. We will see the sun created in verse 16, and Elohim created the laws of physics for light. These laws will be in effect when he creates the sun, moon, and stars, and all of the laws of physics are created. There is some of the science that comes from God's Word at this time. Science is not a separate thing from Scripture. If God is the creator of everything that exists, as he plainly states he is, then he had to make all the laws that govern everything. Otherwise, how would we have such a finely tuned earth and universe to live in? Verse 5, Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, to give it a name. And there was an evening and a morning, one day. In this part of the creation, the earth's rotation is in effect, and the creation of time for us has started. Be aware that God created time. Time is a special part of creation for the sake of his creatures and man. God is infinite and eternal, and since he created time, it means nothing to him for his existence. We see the continuation of verse 4 into verse 5, in which the first created day, it's called Yom, came into existence. This culminates the first 24-hour day and is defined by Elohim as day and night, and declaring evening, which is Erev, and morning, Boker, as day one. Furthermore, what you see here for the declaration of the first day of creation is that it is stated as one day, which is Yom Ehad. Combined with evening and morning, this can only be read as being one 24-hour day. The rest of the days that follow in chapter 1 are written as the second day, third day, etc. During days 1 through 6, Yom is together with a number and with evening, Erev, and morning, Boker, statements. The simple reading of the grammar of these statements reveals that a 24-hour day is defined because Elohim literally meant a 24-hour day. There is nothing else in verse 5 to indicate otherwise, or anywhere else in the creation account for that matter. Elohim has gone to great lengths to inform us of a literal 24-hour day using these words in Hebrew. Verse 6, then Elohim said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate between the waters and the waters. In verse 6, Elohim develops an expanse or a separation, waters from waters, it says, and verse 7 reveals the purpose of this separation for us. So verse 7 says, Elohim made the expanse and separated between the waters which were below the expanse and the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. So the word for that is Rakia. This is the start of the second day, the expanse. Elohim formed a canopy above the earth. That's called that Rakia, by dividing the upper waters from the lower waters. So he called expanse or separation heaven, as in verse 8. There were waters above and below. So verse 8 says, Elohim called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. To finish up at the verse 7, we see the expanse is called heaven. Here we have the second day well clarified by the writing that came from Elohim. Again, we see evening and morning stated, finishing day 2. Yon Shani. Verse 9, then Elohim said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Now before this verse, the earth was covered with water on all its surface. It is time for the future land-dwelling inhabitants to have some dry land to live on. Notice that the verse states the waters below are to be gathered into one place. This gathering into one place could suggest a singular continent on the surface of the earth, surrounded by ocean. Verse 10, Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and Elohim saw that it was good. So some of it's called earth, and the waters below are now called seas, and we see another statement saying that Elohim said it was good. Verse 11, then Elohim said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them, and it was so. He's still speaking because Elohim said. With the earth ready to go, Elohim planted on all of the dry land. Elohim in chapter 2 will plant the special garden of Eden, and Adam is placed in it. This is the first mention of something being created after their kind. The word kind is a unique level of distinction among plants, animals, and creeping things. It is said that kind can be under the order of family. Each, as they are created, will be specified as after their kind and cannot be crossed from one kind to the other. A species that is under the kind category can change or adapt, or in other words, there are varieties of plants, fish, animals, and birds. Changes within species does not mean crossing over kinds. Changing and adapting does not mean macroevolution either, where we evolve from molecules or from a lower form of life. Be especially aware that the word species is not to be confused with kind in any way. The word species does not exist in the Bible. It is a word created by man to denote varieties of types of living things under the kind category. Any translation of the scriptures that replaces the word kind is in error. We use the word species many times at will and in an excessive manner, but evolutionists never seem to use the word kind. They even go so far as to refer to us humans as a species. Keep studying on this chapter and then come back and tell yourself if you see the word species or even kind used when man is created on day 6. Verse 12. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and Elohim saw it was good. So in this verse 11, Elohim said, let the earth sprout to that part of the creation. And now in verse 12, we see the completion of this action in that same day of creation. The spoken word of Elohim is powerful and action follows immediately. Kind is repeated. And at this time, what does plants yielding seed and trees bearing fruit with seed in them mean? That means they were fully mature, ready to eat. Chapter 1, verse 13. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day, Yom Shlisi. We continue to see how the third day, as another 24-hour day, is uniquely and specifically stated by evening and morning. Now, on the third day, vegetation was created. Interestingly, the sun has not been created yet. Look for the sun on the fourth day. This is exactly opposite what evolutionists say. How about that for studying God's Word? Can vegetation continue to exist for one more day without the sun? Not for many days, but aren't we reading about single 24-hour days during creation? Then Elohim said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Sun, moon, planets, stars, etc., fashioned by the powerful creator, Judge Elohim. He is the El of all. And this refers to anything that can give light, whether directly from its own source or reflected. Notice the distinction between day and night. These are the lights that Elohim created that remain with us today. The signs are defined as the positional relationship of the stars and sun along with phases of the moon. And also seasons are created. We get changes in seasons by the tilt of the earth mainly, and some small change from the earth's slight elliptical orbit. Do you suppose that all of the lights in the expanse of the heavens for the signs, for seasons, and for days and years are going to be useful to man immediately when he is created on day 6? Verse 15. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Right away, Elohim shined light and made all light visible to the earth. If it had been possible during this fourth day for a person to stand on the earth's surface, he or she would have seen all the lights immediately to that area of the earth, including the stars. That is because the verse teaches, and it was so. Shouldn't the outer celestial parts of the heavens be immediately visible and useful for mankind again, I'll say, when he was created on a literal day 6? Did Adam have to wait years or so to at least see the light? Verse 14 states the purpose of these lights. We saw that already. And the following verse 16, includes the stars, which will be Hakokabim, Other heavenly bodies could include planets, asteroids, comets, etc. Verse 16. Elohim made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser night to govern the night, and the stars. That's your Hakoka beam. We're talking about the purposes of the sun and moon. The sunlight is for light and photosynthesis during the day, and moonlight for nighttime. Stars and other heavenly bodies were also immediately visible during the night. Chapter 1, verse 17. Elohim placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to govern over the day and over the night, and to separate between the light and the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. There's the word tov again. The locations of the sun and moon are described in verse 17. Notice that the verse refers to the heavens, so they're placed in space. You can read in verses that said they were hung in space. And according to verse 16, this still includes the stars. And verse 18 says the sun is during the day and the moon is best seen at night. It was good. Space, time, and matter. Chapter 1, verse 19. There was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day, Yom Ribi'i. Fourth day is complete by saying evening and morning. The vegetation now has the light of the sun for photosynthesis. The moon's gravitational pull on the earth creates our tides in the oceans. One benefit is it keeps the waters in a constant state of movement that allows oxygen to be stirred in the water. This is vital for life that is to be created on day 5 and day 6. If you are interested in more information about the creation of the heavenly bodies, particularly the stars, you can find an abundance of information from www.icr.org and www.answersingenesis.org. There are several scientists involved with these two fine organizations, and many articles and resources are available. Chapter 1, verse 20. Then Elohim said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." Elohim said he wanted life to exist in the waters and in the air, and that's called the open expanse of the heavens. This is the first time we see the word for living creatures called Nefesh Haya in Genesis chapter 1. Nefesh has the personality with the soul that has the intellect and consciousness. Even animals can exhibit differing personalities, but have limited intellect. They have a body and a soul. Animals and other living creatures outside of man do not possess a spirit, contrary to what many believe. Only man created in the image and likeness of Elohim have all three, body, soul, and spirit. We'll see that on day 6. Right now we're on day 5. This is an extra recording I am splicing in, and I decided to add some extra thoughts to my statement about forms of life outside of man not having a spirit. I am not retracting my statement that man by himself has all three, body, soul, and spirit, and lower forms only have body and soul. It is possible to analyze the creation details on day 5 and day 6 in the original language of Hebrew. The words Nefesh Haya appear in two verses in this chapter and can be translated as living creature or living soul. These words are used during day 5, verse 21 for aquatic and winged kinds, and for day 6, verse 24 for land-dwelling creatures and their kinds also. Man is created on day 6 in verses 26 and 27, and these two words are not used. However, we find the two words used for the creation of Adam in chapter 2, verse 7. This is not the same Nefesh Haya for man compared to all the rest of the living creatures as Nefesh Haya. Since we are talking about life, and we and the rest of Elohim's living things use the same two Hebrew words, it is just like saying living creatures in English. Similarities should exist in all other languages as well. We have to occupy the earth and live in the same ecosystem, and even eat the same food as stated during the creation week, and that is vegetation. I am convinced, since we can read in verses 26 and 27 of chapter 1 that man is created in the image and likeness of Elohim, that that should be sufficient to set us apart and put us higher than the rest of the living creatures. Verse 28 says we are to rule over, subdue, or have dominion over all other nephesh haya. See Paul's writings to the Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 39. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. Being created in Elohim's image and likeness, as verses 26 and 27 state, should settle the matter of having body, soul, and spirit, since Elohim has all three. Why would Elohim, our creator, want to give a spirit to a nephesh haya that is not created in his image and likeness? He does give the breath of life. The Hebrew word for spirit that is used for Elohim and us is ruach. This can be translated as breath also for living things on the earth. Chapter 2, verse 7 does not use ruach, but reads that Elohim breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils so that he could become a living soul. Chapter 6, verse 17 uses the word ruach together with haim in Hebrew for life that breathes. The Greek in verse 17 is pneuma zois, also for life that breathes. This verse is all about that had breath of life entering the ark to survive the global flood. Spirit is not mentioned for creation below man. The belief that animals have spirit permeates the pagan world and false religion world outside of true Christianity. Belief in pagan religion is the polar opposite of the creation account of Elohim's holy word. A quick search on the internet using the words animal, spirit, reveals a great deal of pagan and false belief. Verse 21, Elohim created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and Elohim saw that it was good. So verse 21 gives more detail about aquatic creatures. Note that it says great sea monsters along with other living creatures in the waters. The word monster denotes not only very large fish, but can refer to sea dragons. Leviathan is a type of large monster called a sea serpent. One thing to notice, though, we'll come to that in a minute, there are the verses for that, but you've got Hatananin Hagdolim, that is the Hebrew for the great sea monsters. Looking at Isaiah 27:1, in that day the Lord, with his hard and great strong sword, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. You can refer to Job chapter 41 for more detailed description of Leviathan. All living creatures are created after their kind. As stated previously, there is no crossing over between kinds. Species with variations can and will occur later through the centuries following creations. And a dog is a dog and a cat is a cat, etc. There is no such a thing as a cog or a dat. We have liggers and tyans, and these are still cats. That's where they have crossed. Elohim saw that his creation of the aquatic and winged kind was good. Verse 22, Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. The earth is big enough to support many living creatures. Elohim wants to continue to fill the earth at this stage of creation, so he made a commandment to his day five living creation to do so. Each was blessed and given the capability to multiply or reproduce, and to be fruitful means that each kind or living thing could have many offspring of its own kind. And verse 23, there was evening and there was morning a fifth day, Yom Chamishi. And day five is complete with evening and morning statements defining the 24-hour day. Verse 24, then Elohim said, let earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. Living things on the land are created next. Note that the living things here in verse 24 is repeated as in verses 20 and 21, living things that have the soul of life in them. And that's still that nefesh haya. Now also note that creeping things are included here on day 6, and previously in verse 21, the creation stated along with living things, everything that moves. In other words, everything that moves on day 5 and creeping things here in verse 24 and on day 6 could also include primitive forms of life. Not all things that move and all creeping things have blood in their bodies, and the life of animals created is in the blood. We can look at Genesis 9, verse 4, Leviticus 17, 11, and 14, and Deuteronomy 12, 23. Repeat. Genesis 9, verse 4, Leviticus 17, 11, and 14, Deuteronomy 12, 23. Plants that were created on day 3 are not considered as living creatures. Everything that is created after its own kind is special and unique and not able to crossbreed from kind to kind. How many times can we say that? God says it over and over. Verse 25, Elohim made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and Elohim saw that it was good. Verse 25 is a continuation from verse 24 of living things made or created on the earth on day 6. What do we have that is going to live on the land? First are the beasts of the earth that include large creatures like dinosaurs and dragons. Elephants, rhinos, hippos, cats, dogs, and possibly some others that are larger or separate from cattle. Second, we are taught that all the cattle kinds are created, which should include cows, buffaloes, horses, deer families, etc. Those that do not crossbreed are separate after their kind, just like the verse says. Third, we see everything that creeps on the ground, like reptiles and insects, that could be included here, and possibly other lower forms of life down to microbes. Even these lower forms of life that we're talking about, these creeping things, are highly complex. If you studied that in school, you should be aware of that. They are still created after their own kind. Note that kind is repeated in verse 25 three times to make sure that the reader understands the original, special, separate creation of each category or kind of living things. This point is repeated thoroughly. Verse 21 also has kind twice. That is five times so far up to this stage of creation. Again, plants do not fall in the category of living things as fish, birds, animals, and man, etc. Plants operate as a chemical system and were created for food. There is absolutely no mention of death of any kind occurring at any time until Adam and Eve fell up to this point. More on that when we get to chapter 3. Elohim saw that it was good, so a perfect God saw it was good. Must be perfect then. Chapter 1, verse 26. Then Elohim said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now for Elohim's crowning achievement. Adam is made or fashioned with previously created materials. And the word for man is Adam. Not only just his physical body, but he is created in the image of Elohim, our image, he stated, and according to his likeness as well. Our likeness, he's saying. Chapter 2 covers more detail on the creation of Adam in Elohim's image and likeness. Also note that Adam is to be the ruler over all created living things or all other living things. Any of the living things outside of Adam were never intended to be in the image and likeness of Elohim. The creation of man includes a body, soul, and spirit, and all other living creatures, nefesh haya, may have only body and soul, no spirit. We still have superior superiority over the rest of creation today, even though we live in a fallen world, which is chapter 3, but we cannot truly experience the type of rule or dominion that Adam had before the fall of man. Remember, it was perfect before now, and some would insist that we return to this perfect time through radical environmentalism or animal rights causes. Please be informed. If you believe in radical causes, even as a Christian, be patient. God will restore everything to perfection in His way at the end of the age. So, all of creation fell with man also. That is seen in chapter 3 when you get there. Verse 27. Elohim created man in His own image. In the image of Elohim, He created him. Male and female, He created them. This verse is the statement of Elohim's creation of man that has image and likeness included. And being created in God's image and likeness is very special and separates us as humans completely from all other creatures on the earth. And so far, have you seen anything that says after its kind or after our kind being humans? No. This is a truth of being created in the image, God's image and likeness, that many ignore, especially when wanting to believe the theory of evolution or ignoring the sanctity and purpose of human life. Also note that both male and female are mentioned here. This is covered further in chapter 2. Verse 28, Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 22 mentioned the commandment to be fruitful and multiply for the rest of creation. And now we see, remember in verse 26, that Elohim said to subdue the earth and rule over all living things. And this is verse 28. Verse 29. Then Elohim said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. Want to know what your ancestors ate originally? In verse 29, you don't see any mention of carnivorous activity. That means no death is to occur through eating. Not does a single thing of death of anything occur until after the fall of man, Genesis chapter 3. To eat plants, fruits, and forms of vegetation is not considered death. Vegetation does not have the form of life as living creatures with a soul. Eating meat is permitted after the global flood in Genesis 9. Verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has living soul, every green plant is for food, and it was so. Verse 30 includes Elohim's provision to animals, birds, and everything that moves to eat vegetation like man eats. We read in verse 29. No carnivorous activity mentioned here, so again there is no death occurring through eating green plants. Remember, we will not see death until after the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. Permission to eat flesh or meat and all moving things is given in Genesis 9 verses 3 and 4. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with this life, that is blood. This commandment was given after the global flood in Genesis chapters 6 through 8 in particular, and it's given in chapter 9. Verse 31, Elohim saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. The last 6 24-hour day of creation is described by evening and morning. After completion of the various things during the first 5 days, Elohim had always said that he saw that it was good. Now that Elohim has completed all His creation after the final creation of humans, male and female, He said that it was very good or complete. The order of God's creation is revealed to us in chapter 1. This last verse in chapter 1 is stating that Elohim is totally satisfied with all His creation. Also, this very good statement means that He completed creation as perfect. Another item of interest is that Elohim created His universe mature. He created man and all other living things mature. Furthermore, all that they needed as vegetation was mature. And for example, Adam did not have to wait for vegetation to sprout and grow so that he could eat. Do you think the creation would be very good if death or sin had occurred prior to Elohim finishing everything? Would Elohim make a statement like that if death or sin had occurred prior to finishing creation? Death or sin occurring before Elohim finished his creation would mean that he failed to create a perfect world, or that he caused death or sin. Elohim doesn't fail. The following verse is what Jesus, Elohim, Creator, Judge, El of all, the I Am, said about our Father. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And what does good or very good mean coming from Elohim? Even Jesus said he wasn't good, only God. Mark 10:18, and Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Again, I say that death does not enter the world until Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Isha, that's the woman, Eve, disobeyed Elohim and caused the fall of man. Paul stated in these verses that death entered the world through Adam's transgression, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. To wrap up chapter 1, consider the following. Again, beware, Elohim has created a perfect world for all living things, and furthermore, mankind and all living creatures were originally intended to live forever. How do we know this? When you study Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, inform us there is a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, planted somewhere in the middle of the garden, and if Adam and Eve were to eat of this tree, they would surely die. Also, there is mention of the tree of life, and eating from that tree would allow man to live forever. If you have studied Genesis before, especially the first 11 chapters, you could be aware that Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was disobeying Elohim, and they were to begin the process of aging and to die later on. In Genesis 3:22, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden and were not allowed to go back in to eat from the tree of life. So mankind would die, and a curse was also placed on all the earth, and all other living was to die as well. Decay and entropy started, and believe me, this was not God's original plan, since he is perfect. Can we be perfect? Don't try to believe that. Only God is perfect. Aren't you glad to have a will and can make choices? That is a gift from the Almighty Creator, and furthermore, we are not robots.